Sup.
Welcome to Natural Disasters. I'm your host, Marissa Ross.
And I'm MC Adam Vorvoulis on the ones and twos.
We gotta do that again. I said host.
That's cool.
We haven't even really started drinking. Anyways, welcome to Natural Disasters, the podcast where Adam and I are fucking disasters.
Yeah. In case anybody didn't know, we do call ourselves disasters. So if you want to complain about us being disasters, joke's on you.
Yeah. You're not selling any newspaper headlines to
us. No, and you're definitely not insulting either of us.
No, extra, read all about it. Just kidding. We don't fucking care.
Someone told me that I fake laugh on the pod.
I know. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, me too, because
it made me really laugh.
I don't fake laugh. I'm not a fake laugher. That's not who I am. I'm sorry that my fake or my real laugh sounds like a fake laugh.
Yeah.
I've been told that I come off a little disingenuous just in general in my whole life.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's true, but I know you pretty well.
Yeah, no.
Anyways.
Anyway, we're getting so good at this.
We're just so synced up. Are you about to start your period, too? I'm just kidding. So today we are drinking the Mindklang Zweigelt 2015. It's from Austria.
Burgenland,
yep. And I've been really into their wines lately. I wish that I'd been able to find their Pinot Gris because their Pinot Gris is fucking phenomenal. But I'm excited to try, you know, this wine as well. Yeah, it's 100% Zweigelt. It's got a bit high alcohol content for such a hot day. It's at 13%.
Yeah. I was also going to say Zweigelt, one of the grapes that is like distinctly Austrian. You don't really.
Yeah.
There's a little bit in California, and I don't know. There might be other places that probably grow it, but you think of Zweigelt, you think of Austrian wine. It's distinctly an Austrian wine.
Absolutely. And like, even though, like I said, this is maybe a bit of a bigger wine than I would normally have right now, it's still really, really great. Like, this wine is beautiful. And also, I like that it's a bit heavy, a bit of a heavier take on Zweigelt than normally. I feel like most normal, that's wrong. That's all wrong. You shouldn't say varieties or normal or whatever. But anyways, you know,
Did you just assume my variety?
Yes. But most Zweigelts I've had have been a lot like, you know, lower.
Yeah, a little bit brighter, a little bit brighter,
a little bit more acidity, less alcohol. But I find this wine to still be really, really scrumptious and delicious. It's very
punchy.
It's punchy.
Not punchy as in like Hawaiian punch. Punchy as in like that joke that you said as a kid where you were like, do you want some Hawaiian punch? And they'd be like, yeah. And then you punched them.
Did you have to be wearing like a luau shirt or anything or no?
I might have helped, but no.
Okay.
And then you'd be like, you want a Hertz donut? And then you'd be like, yeah, I want a Hertz donut. And then you'd punch them again and be like, Hertz donut.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. And then next you're like, you want seafood?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a donut in my mouth. Nah. Anyways, so this Zweigelt is awesome. I just really, really am into this producer right now. Mindklang is a biodynamic.
Yeah, Demeter certified.
Demeter certified. It's a family-ran farm. It's three brothers. It's like on the property that their parents owned. It's 2,000 hectares. It's got some cattle and sheep and pigs and chickens. And the cattle is what you might recognize from the label because I have like a little cutout.
Yeah, they got a little steer, I think. I don't
know. Yeah, I think
so. It's got horns. Does that make it a steer? Cows have horns? They can't they?
Yeah, that's got, I don't know. I don't think, you know what?
My bovine knowledge is very low. I don't have very high bovine.
I know nothing about anything. Really.
Yeah, I wasn't in 4-H or anything like that.
Like, there's a couple restaurants in this town that will tell you.
Yeah,
I don't know anything. anyways, so it's pretty hot, and yeah, it's fucking hot, and that's about it. It's pretty fucking hot, but that brings us to today's topic, because a lot of people have been asking this of me. They're like, hey, it's summer, it's hot, what is the best way to like store wines? Like what should I do?
Yeah.
It's an important question because heat damage is a fucking bitch.
And I always tell them on the top of your fridge.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, put them in your attic.
I always say, do you have a dryer? Right next to your dryer.
As long as the dryer is right next to a window no curtains that gets direct sunlight all
that
day.
Sounds perfect.
Or, ooh, a garage with a car that runs in it nonstop.
Yes.
That's perfect, too.
Yeah.
No, but heat damage is a real serious issue with wine, especially in the summer.
Yeah, it's probably one of the number one sort of killers of when you're storing wine. The thing that you might have to worry about the most is heat damage.
Absolutely. So to start with, anything over 70 degrees, like, so let's say you have just some wines in your house right now that you're like, huh, I wonder if my wine is going to be having some heat damage. If it's over 70, if your wine is in a space that's 70 degrees or over for an extended period of time, chances are it's going to have heat damage. If it's in a place over 80 degrees for an extended period of time, like, you're pretty much fucked.
That's guaranteed, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, if you have...
I'd say 70. If you could hit 70 degrees, like, solidly...
Yeah, maybe.
You might be okay.
Yeah.
Like consistently. Like, if it's like, oh, that place is... But where in your house is it, like, always the same temperature?
Totally. But what does heat damage even do to a wine? Well, it like permanently fucks up the flavor of it.
Yeah, irreversible.
Irreversibly. And that, I mean, obviously I think that varies depending on how heat damaged it is. I mean, you know, like, I don't think like...
There are sliding scales, right? Yeah, there's like slightly cooked and then there's like totally fucking baked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And cooked is like a general term for like when a wine has gone through like heat damage, I feel
like.
Yeah,
it has a flavor profile.
And like, so when a wine has been exposed to too much heat, like they tend to get more like astringent. They have like stickier, like more pronounced tannins. They get kind of sour. And then, yeah, they get like cooked or like... And by cooked, they taste like a weird fucked up like burnt fruit stew.
Yeah. I was gonna say like not just dried fruit, but like
no, like it's
overcooked
a stew.
Fruit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like fruit that's been in a pot that was somehow burnt, but still like liquid.
I'm trying to think, like, if you were making a preserve or a jam and you just like you just said fuck it,
yeah,
and you just let it go and
just
you're like,
lit
let's
it
just
on
do
fire.
It. I'm
so
just gonna
gross.
Like where I'm gonna let it just keep going.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking gross. It's bad when it happens, and like it also turns the wines brown, which is no good. And something like, you know, that really matters to us in the natural wine community is that the heat damage actually decreases the free sulfites in a wine.
This is not something I knew.
This is
new information for
I know.
Me.
I did some research. And so free sulfites, the difference between free sulfites and added sulfites, or free sulfites are the sulfites that come from fermentation.
Yeah,
they're just
naturally
there.
Occurring.
They're just naturally occurring. They're there to hang out. Yeah. And in natural wine, like that's pretty much all we have.
Think like a freeloader. Like
yeah.
They're like freeloader sulfites.
Yeah.
They're just like, whatever. We're here. We're hanging. We're chilling.
Making your wine better unless you keep us on top of the dryer in the sun.
Yeah. And then
we die.
Peace out. We're out of here.
Yeah. So you want to make sure that, you know, that's not happening. And then, and also too, like if it's really hot and dry, the corks can shrink and then you have leakage. It's a...
Yeah. And I've seen like there's also, as things get hot, they expand.
Yeah.
And so, like, it'll push corks out or it'll
totally.
Leak out the sides.
Well, didn't that kind of happen to you?
Yeah. When I was just getting into wine, I was, like, 21, 22, 21, and I didn't really know. I might have been younger, to be honest. I didn't know much, and somebody, like, knew I was starting to get into the wine, so, like, they gave me wine as a gift, as one
does.
What
a nice friend.
Yeah. And I was like, thank you so much. This is so awesome. I'm going to put it in the trunk of my car. And 3 weeks later, I went back and I was like, what the fuck happened to my wine? Like, why is it all, why did like all the corks pop out? And
you're
it
like,
spilled
I don't know,
everywhere.
It's 95 degrees.
Yeah, like
in
it
May.
Was in the back of my Volvo for all summer. And I was like, I was wanting to drink that. And, unfortunately...
You were like, and then I licked it out of the trunk.
We drank it. I'm not saying I didn't drink it.
You did not drink it.
Of course
it.
I did.
Even though... You said it spilled out.
Well, like, you know, it was like... Not spilled out.
Okay,
it was
okay,
like, it was
yeah,
like
yeah.
leaking out
gotcha.
the seal of the cork in the bottle. It was like...
Yeah.
You know? It was like dripping down the side. Oh yeah, we drank it. And you know what it tasted like? Fucking prune juice. Like fucking all it tasted was like burnt prune juice.
Gross, dude.
But as I got into wine, I learned that it was like, oh, I fucked that up. That was my fault.
Wait, at the time you were like, this wine tastes like prune juice.
Yeah, I was like, this is gross. And also the cork is sticking out. What the fuck?
This is just poor craftsmanship all the way around. Well, I like...
Sorry.
No.
Yeah.
That was, fake laugh.
I know.
Can't sob it. But I will...
Ha, 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 ha.
Ha, ha, ha. Well, I mean, even myself a couple summers ago, maybe I think it was before... I think it was the first summer I lived in my house I live in now. So, 3 years ago, I lost a ton of wine because I just had never... I'd never had so much wine that where, like, there was bottles out... And it got so hot, like it does every summer. And they were out. I had a bunch of bottles out in my living room in this wine rack that I had. I mean, I still have it, but now I just keep trash in there. Not actual trash, just like shit that people send me that I don't want that will eventually go to my housekeeper, who loves it. But maybe not the ones that are in there now because it's probably stewed, fucked up wines. But anyways, I lost a ton of my wine. And I was like, oh shit, like even with my AC.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. Like, it was still, like, too hot in here. So, it's something that you really got to think about. So, it's important to know how to store your wines.
So, I would say invest thousands and thousands of dollars into a wine fridge.
Interesting. I was going to say invest thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in investing in a subterranean lair.
Oh, build a cave, build a underground.
But call it a subterranean lair.
Yeah, call it your secret lair.
That's sexier. But most of us don't have that. I know I don't. So what I say is the best thing to do if you can is get yourself a wine fridge.
Yeah.
And they're not that expensive. You know, I mean, they're a couple $100 investment, but if you are spending hundreds of dollars on wine, or even not hundreds of dollars
if
on wine,
if you lose, you can lose potentially hundreds of dollars on wine because it's stored improperly.
Exactly.
You're basically saving money by getting one.
Totally. And you can go to like Lowe's and get it. Yeah. I know that that's probably not a popular choice. I wish that there was a artisan wine fridge.
Yeah, or like Total Wine or BevMo possibly.
Yeah, anything. Yeah, you want to get yourself one of those. And ideally, you want to keep the wines at cellar temperature, which is usually anywhere between 54 and 65 degrees. I keep my shit at 54.
You like it cold.
I like that shit cold.
You want to be able to take it out and drink it a little cold.
I like it on a little bit on the cold side.
Yeah, I'm with you.
For me, like obviously I'm in a bit of a different position than most people, but when I'm writing about a wine, I kind of like to see the evolution of it.
Yeah.
There's
also the option of an offsite. There are like.
Why would you? I don't understand the point of the offsite things because then you can't get.
That's the point. For people who don't want to, who actually want to, like, oh, I want like this special occasion wine, and they're not that expensive. I know that there's some where you can rent like.
But that takes all the fun out of getting drunk and fucking up and opening up something you shouldn't have, and then like being like
Not everybody. Not everybody's a trash monster.
Well, I am. Actually, that's not true. I have wines that I haven't opened.
Yeah, but you put notes on them, yeah.
I put notes on them that are really malicious.
Yeah.
They say horrible things on them.
No, but those are like, I was going to say if you want to save a little bit of money, because those are like, I think you can find those for like $100 for 6 months for like a 20 case.
But I feel like most people are just drinking like $20 to $40, $50 wines, you know, that just don't want them to go bad.
Well, I mean, they'll never go bad if you're, and you'll never drink them if they're off-site.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm busy pouring more wine. Hold on, I got
a
burp.
It's an option. It's a weird option, but it's an option.
Yeah, okay, well, that's an option. I don't like it because I'm a control, like, I want my wines.
Yeah, you want to, what happens if there's an earthquake?
Yeah.
What happens if...
What happens if you sell your car last summer and now you don't ever leave your house?
Yeah.
And your name is Marissa Ross.
Yeah. Well, we should start a company that's like the Uber company, but for wine storage. And like
you Ubered me a bottle of your wine once.
I did do that.
And it was open.
It was pretty storage. Early on, I feel like, Uber technology, and the guy was a little weirded out by it. But I feel like nowadays people use Uber as messengers more often now.
Yeah.
And it's not as weird. But I think at the time the guy was a little bit like, a person isn't getting in the Uber, just a bottle of wine. He's like, nope, bye.
It was great. It was. It's a favorite memory of mine. Let's say you don't have a wine fridge or you don't have money.
There's also that option. Just put your wine in an Uber forever.
Yeah, just like just make sure to do the black, the black option. Just put it right in front of those AC vents on the Suburban. You'll be fine. So let's say though you don't want to invest in a wine fridge. Maybe that's not in your budget at this point. To which I'd say manifest it. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways. You can put your wines in a regular refrigerator.
It is possible. You are allowed.
You're allowed to do it. There are some downsides to putting your wine in a regular refrigerator, though. For example, most of them get too cold. And when your wines are too cold, it mutes the flavors and aromas. So what you want to do is if you are storing them in your regular refrigerator, you want to make sure to take them out at least like 10, 15 minutes before you serve them and just kind of let them come back to life.
There is a thing too people talk about, which I don't know enough about the mechanics of a home refrigerator.
Oh, you're not a repairman? Then what were you doing here last weekend on my refrigerator? I thought that you were fixing coolant.
I was eating all the food out of it.
I don't blame you. Ben is a good cook.
Yeah, very good. There's people who say that that the temperature fluctuates a little bit, which is not necessarily great. That's another bad thing in wine. Like, you want consistent temperature, and like I guess a home fridge sometimes they can go up and down and
but
up and down.
But let's be honest, I feel like
I'm just repeating things I've heard.
I know. And then they
vibrate. Their motors vibrate the fridge, and I guess there's some people that say that can be really not great for wine.
Well, I mean,
it's a constant vibration.
Yeah, and I feel like that kind of ties into almost. Like when wines go, like when you bring back wine on an airplane,
yeah,
you know, just
totally,
like, kind
totally,
of like
totally.
Air
bottle shock, almost.
Yeah, bottle shock, yeah, just like the motion. But I mean, I think though, if your option is a refrigerator or nothing at all,
absolutely,
you want to do the refrigerator,
absolutely.
And to be totally honest, I keep most of my pet gnats in my fridge,
yeah,
just because. And a lot of my, I don't keep like my champagne and stuff in there, or like my, you know, nicer kind of shit. But like anything that I think I'm going to drink within the next couple days, I usually keep my sparkling in the fridge just because with sparkling wines, you definitely want to keep them as cold as possible because their atmospheric pressure changes with temperature, which means they can just fucking explode.
Yeah.
That's a real thing that happens. I almost took off Doug Slum's head in France. In a hotel bathroom after we got back from like an early dinner, and like everyone was like, Marissa, didn't Domaine Poggiol like give you that sparkling Mazac Vert? And I was like, yeah, they did. And then Doug was like, Marissa, that's gonna explode. And I was like, whatever, like it's gonna be great. This is all we have to drink. Like, fuck yeah. And then I pretty much destroyed this bathroom.
Did you open it and it just exploded?
Yeah,
everywhere?
I opened it and it exploded everywhere because it was too warm, and also like the cork like fucking hit Doug in like the rib cage, like just like and left this big ass fucking bruise. And the entire, I mean, it was a European bathroom, so it was very very small.
Yeah,
but like the entire
toilet was actually in the shower.
Almost, not quite. It wasn't quite that small. But the entire thing was drenched in Mazac Vert. So. Yeah, you want to keep that shit cold.
Yeah,
don't open hot bottles in bathrooms. It's a bad idea.
And then there's always also the option of a dark, cool place in your home.
Yeah, so let's say you are trying to like store some shit, like you and you're like, I can't keep this in my fridge all the time. I need this space for my for my mayonnaise.
For food.
Or whatever.
Mayonnaise?
I don't know.
All I keep in my fridge is mayonnaise.
Yeah.
I'm quite the mayonnaise connoisseur.
I was just thinking of like what goes in like the shelves. I'm like, oh, like condiments.
Yeah, shit you never use. But still, if you don't have the room, you don't have the space. And just totally. All these options are just not things that work for you. And you're like, guys, I can't do anything. What do I do?
I don't have a wine fridge. I don't have a subterranean layer. I definitely don't even have a regular refrigerator. What do I do?
Dark place. So that's like
the darkest, coolest place in your house.
That's like the floor of your closet.
Dude, I keep a lot of stuff in my closet still to this day.
I've been in my closet for a long time.
Oh, Adam.
yeah, no, you Yeah, so the closet, under a bed, some people.
Yeah, some people do under a bed as well.
Wherever it's dark and cool, the room you don't go into or the corner of the house you don't go into.
I think a closet is, especially like a walk-in closet. Like, for example, so my AC's been out for like over a week now. We don't need to get into it, but because it's a whole thing. But my closet still is maintained. It's just dark and cold in there still. Like, yeah. it doesn't even matter. And, I mean, and I'm praying that it is because I have some shit in there that...
No, closets have an ability to regulate temperature pretty well. Unless I have a lot of my closets now. I feel like we're talking like, all my closets have windows. I've moved into a place where there's a lot of windows in our closets.
Yeah.
It's an old building, and I feel like that was something that, like, literally
because people didn't have lights.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like the only way people could see at some point in
time. Well, it's like there's a window into another room in my bathroom, which is always odd because if you're doing laundry, you can just like watch someone peeing.
Oh, that's hot.
Yeah. I've been trying to fix it. Ben's always like, we gotta do something about that. And I'm like, we need the light. It's like the same thing you're talking about. I'm like, we need the natural light.
Yeah, the closet. But yeah, anywhere that's just dark and hidden.
Yeah, you want it dark because sun also damages, not only because of heat, but just like
light.
The light can damage
wine.
Wine
bottles aren't typically, like, some of them are in clear bottles, but that's why, like, green glass and black glass or dark glass.
I almost think that that's a good rule of thumb, that if something's in a clear glass, you probably should drink it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, unless I wonder how much thought goes into the bottling, because I know I've bottled a handful of things and I've only done one in clear glass, and the intention was it was supposed to be a quick, fast, easy drink.
Exactly,
and it was not
yeah.
supposed to be
every producer I know that's moved to clear bottles has been to showcase the wine's color.
Yeah,
because in natural wine there are just so many beautiful. Like with the Furlani wines, for example, like those wines are like
crazy. They need to be in clear glass.
Yeah, they look like crazy smoothie Skittles colors. It's insane. But yeah, I feel like it's always either to showcase the color or to signify to like drink it sooner rather than later. But yeah, if you don't have any of those things, just find the coolest, darkest place in your house, and pray to whatever you believe in. Just don't put it in like a heat trap. Don't store it in a garage. Like, don't store it anywhere that it gets hot.
I guess a good rule of thumb is like, would you leave your dog there?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Right? Like, if you wouldn't leave your dog there, you probably shouldn't leave your wine there.
No, I think that that's a really good rule of thumb, because I wouldn't leave my dog.
But then again, like, would you lock your dog in a fridge? Probably not, but... I guess
better than probably locking them in a car, though, in a car trunk.
Yeah, we're talking
on a 95-degree day.
Yeah, we're talking more like.
Well, I guess the trunk they wouldn't suffocate, whereas I think in the fridge they would. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Just like find a cool, just
maybe fruit. Would you leave fruit there?
Okay. That's better. That's better because nothing. I mean,
I wouldn't leave a banana.
No.
In the trunk of my car, but I would put a banana in my fridge.
Yeah, you want to put a banana in your fridge sometimes, you know.
Okay, so Marissa, so now you're storing your fruit dog or whatever, right? You're like and you're in your fridge or you're in your closet or you're under your bed or whatever it is you're
subterranean
doing.
Your subterranean layer
and you've held on to wines and you're starting to actually like collect, if you will. Like you're starting to not just have wines that you buy and consume, you're actually buying wines with the
Or intent. Even if you are just buying and consuming, but maybe you're buying like a case of it.
Yeah. And you're storing it. So when do you know when to drink it?
Great question, Adam. Yeah, well, I mean, I love that you're like asking me like you also don't know the answer to.
No, I mean, this is the tit for tat. This is,
I know.
You'll ask me and I'll ask you, but also I think people want to hear your answer.
Yeah, no. Well, no. Well, I think that in general when it comes to natural wine, like there is no one, like anything with wine, like or especially natural wine, there isn't one answer that fits all. Like it's just not a possible thing. I think with natural wines, ideally, especially like as we talked about earlier with clear bottles, you kind of want to be drinking them sooner rather than later if you're wondering. Like if you're like, I wonder if I need to drink this like this week or if I can wait 3 months.
Yeah, if you're asking the question, you should have drank. You should drink it.
Yeah, if you have to ask, I think you should drink it. But, you know, there are certain qualities you can take into consideration, and as a sommelier, I'm sure you know a lot about these
things.
Well,
one of the things you could definitely consider is the alcohol, because alcohol is a natural preservative.
Totally.
So, like, there is a thought that, like... But all of these things, I also feel like I have been disproved personally. That's what's so hard.
Well,
higher alcohol maybe is a good indicator. Something that is a bigger wine is going to have more robust qualities to it.
More tannic structure. That's a big thing, like tannic structure. I think sometimes people think that like more acidity means you can store it. But I think that really depends on the variety because, you know, there are a lot of natural wines with a ton of acidity that still are not made to be stored for a long period of time.
I have an idea or a thought that I've had for a long time. Not a thought. I have a belief maybe that maybe is controversial.
Oh. I don't like New York.
Not one to be controversial. But I have, in my experience, I've been around quite a bit of old wine. It's been a long time since I've been around it, but there was a good period, a decade of my life, where I was around a lot of old wine all the time. And a lot of people used acidity as a... I thought that they would think that acidity meant long-aged, long-lived, but in all honesty, for me, it's quality of the fruit.
Totally.
Not the acidity. Acidity isn't something that I look for in an old wine. It's the quality of the fruit. And just I look at the same qualities that I look for in a young wine, I look for in an old wine. I just look for those old, like... An old wine, or an aged wine, I should say, not an old wine, because you can be 5 years, 6 years. That's not old. That's just aged.
Yeah.
You should have balance, just like you do in a young wine that you think is of high quality. And if the acidity is so out-skewed that you don't get any of the fruit quality in that aged wine, then for me personally, I don't necessarily... That doesn't excite me so much. I want fruit.
But, like, I mean, there's certain qualities that, like, sometimes, like, and there's certain varieties that age better than others.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they say.
Which gets to the point, like, I mean, part of me is like, oh, there are certain, you know, they're like, I forget where it's from. I have a skin contact white wine from Italy that I bought from Lou, and he was like, oh, you can, like, hold on to this for a while.
Yeah.
Which gets to my main point about this, which is, like, look, no matter what people have written about in terms of, you know, wine and like how you can look at variety or region or fermentation style and like know how, like, can guess how long you can store it, you've got to talk to the person that you bought it from, because with natural wine, it changes so much from producer to producer. Like, even I bought a Magnum of a French producer from Burgundy last year. And Magnums, generally, you can hold on to longer because there's less, is it elation?
They're bigger.
Yeah, they're bigger, but they have less air to...
You like that technical term?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, so you have more...
There's
you
more,
have more liquid to
air
less
ratio.
Surface area of the air.
But what's it called? It starts with a U. Someone on the when we were doing a live last week, someone was like, "You mean blah blah blah," and I was like, drunk, and I was like, "Yeah, blah blah blah." It's Ullage. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but I'm thinking it's you.
You googly.
Yeah, hold on. I'm gonna make sure just to be sure.
For all those Derek Zoolander fans out there, you googly.
I think it's Ullage. Hold on, we'll go back and do this.
You know,
yeah, I was right.
Your friends are having a gasoline fight, and the next thing you know, you're googly.
Anyways, it's Ullage, Ullage. So there's less, you know, there's just, the fucking point is
it's closer to a barrel.
It's closer to a barrel, so I was like, oh, it's going to be fine. It's a, you know, it's a Pinot Noir from Burgundy. It's a Magnum. Like, I'm going to hold on to this for a year and open it for my birthday.
And no problems.
Nope. It fucking sucked.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, a whole Magnum. I wasted a whole goddamn Magnum.
Yeah.
And I was really pissed because I really, really love this producer. And I was like, fuck, I should have just opened it. Like,
it died.
It died. So you just never know. And like, so with these things, you really need to take the time to talk to the people that you're buying it from.
Yeah, I was going to say, because there's always like a lot of people will tell you like, we'll buy, I'm going to do my obnoxious voice. Well, one of the things you could do, Marissa, is buy multiple bottles.
Oh my God.
Of the wine. And then,
if you guys could see my eye roll right now.
And then open it over a course of time. So open one bottle, and then 6 months later, open another bottle.
I fucking hate that shit, because it's the same shit that people say about Mouse, and it pisses me off, because as someone that still buys her wine at retail, I don't have that
right,
kind
so
of fucking.
Right, so by going to a retail shop that you where you trust the people who've drank the wine,
yeah.
Hopefully, they can give you the same advice that you would by buying multiple bottles.
Totally,
hopefully.
Exactly, hopefully. Like, I shop a lot at Lou here in Los Angeles, Lou Amdur, who I adore. He's great about that stuff, and he's given me incredible advice about many of the wines that I have malicious notes on. He's the one that's told me, he's like, hey, this is a wine that you can age for 10 years. Or like, hey, this is a wine that you need to drink this week. Like, and I make sure to always ask.
I would actually say if you're going to a wine shop where they're not drinking the wine, even if you're going to like a BevMo, like, and the people there are not consuming wine on a regular basis, turn around.
Yeah, you
leave
want people.
Leave that store.
You need people that are, you need the people that you're buying from to be drinking the wine so that they
that
know.
That they're selling.
Yeah, because the wines change so much. And that's why, I mean, I think we're really fortunate out here with people, you know, like Lou, who've been in natural wine for a really long time and like understand and can kind of see where things are going. So, you know, you really just don't know. And it sucks because there's certain wines I buy like that are like super culty wines, you know, and I'll be so like, oh my God, this wine was super allocated and I've been wanting to try it for years.
Everyone I know tells me it's so amazing.
Everyone's told me it's so amazing. It's super allocated. I spent so much money on it. I don't want to just open it on a goddamn Tuesday. And then you open it on a Sunday night with your wine buds or just buds that you care about, or maybe not. I don't know who you drink with. Maybe you're a fruit dog, whatever. But that's what we call callback in comedy. But then you open it and you're like, fuck, this sucks, dude. And like, had I just opened it? So I think it's so important to talk to the people that you're buying your wine from.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that wine necessarily sucked when it was released either.
No.
It's like not judgment on the wine.
It meant that I would like couldn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no. If I open
it's
this
like,
wine.
It's like when you're told like when you're younger. When it's like about like, I'm nervous to ask out this person that I like. And so I never do it. And then I regret that I never asked them out.
And then when you do, then they already have a new.
Yeah. They have a boyfriend, girlfriend or whatever.
They're like, oh, if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I would have been totally fucking you right now.
I was going to say I'd be sucking your D.
Yeah, whatever. Mine is more gender neutral.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you. Thank you for all the applause from the audience.
we should do this in front of a live audience.
We definitely should. We're not Harmontown yet, but one day.
One day. Anyway, yeah, like don't live without regrets.
Yeah, you got to just be able to, you got to be down with like opening the wine that you're buying. Especially if you're buying, you know, like if you're buying, you know, I mean, the price range that I usually work in is, you know, the 20 to... I mean, obviously, my job is wine, so I spend, you know, maybe more money than a lot of people do. But, you know, my price range in general is like the 20 to like under 40 range. Like, that's like the general bottle I buy.
That seems pretty reasonable for the quality that you're
buying. Yeah, but like, I still need to be opening those. There's one in my fridge right now that I'm like, Marissa, if you don't open this soon, that you're only holding on to because you really want to like... write a really great thing about it because it's got a cool, like, it's got a great name and you had it at Brumaire and you love it so much and you were only allowed to buy one bottle because it was so allocated. Now I'm like, it's like, it becomes a thing. It becomes like a...
I know, so we're deviating just a little bit, but I do want to bring up, I feel like wine, like sommeliers do this all the time where they like hoard shit on their list and they don't sell it and they're not actively like pushing it and they're not getting people to buy it because they just want the recognition that they have this wine on their list. And then the person finally buys it and sells it and you're like, oh fuck, this wine's fucked. Thanks, dude. Thanks, bro.
I know, and that's how I feel. Like there's a couple bottles in my fridge right now that I just cannot pull the trigger on. And I'm terrified, especially after that Magnum experience.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, like that's the worst. But here's the thing with anything in natural wine, it's a gamble. Like, I feel like natural wine in general is a gamble. It's like a high risk kind of game, depending on how you're playing it. Like, there is, you know, there's bottle variation. There's there is no guarantee that when you open it, whether you open it now or whether you open it in 6 months, what it's going to taste like. You know, there's wines I tasted at La Dive or at Vinatour that taste totally different now that they're here.
Isn't that kind of what makes it so fun, though, sometimes when you get those, like, exceptional bottles and, like, you have those moments where you're drinking something and you're like, wow, I'm really into this. This is really good.
Well,
I'm
that's
really
why
impressed.
We love it.
Yeah,
of course.
Kind of like actually the wine we're consuming right now. Have you gone back to it?
Yeah. So going back to this Mindklang Farm, the Zweigelt that we were saying was a little bit high in alcohol for the balmy ass afternoon that we're, recording in my AC-less house, and it's really lovely.
It really is. I feel like I shouldn't be enjoying it because of that. All of those, the heat and everything.
But I think this kind of goes back to what we were saying.
I really am enjoying it.
So going back to like refrigerators, I ran down the street, I bought this, I came home, I threw it in my refrigerator because I wanted it to be cold enough.
Yeah.
But now that it's warmed, it's so much softer.
Yeah.
It's really, really... It's velvety.
Yeah, it's got texture and weight.
You know what?
Unctuous. Don't you love that word? Unctuous.
It makes me feel like George Costanza in the episode where he only wears velvet.
Yeah.
Like if it was like a light velvet jumpsuit or like a tracksuit, like not a thick layer of velvet, a thin layer of Costanza velvet tracksuitness on my soul. And I'm really enjoying it. It's gorgeous. Their wines are really, really great.
It's really delicious. Like I said, it's got this texture and this just really mouthfeel, all the words no one wants to hear on the radio.
Yeah, but it's all there, man. It's charming.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, I didn't like you at the beginning of the night, but now that
I've had a little bit to drink.
Now that I've had a little bit to drink and a little time to sit on it, like
actually.
Do you want to sit on it? I'm just kidding. No, it's really, really good. I think it's fantastic. I am intrigued to try the 2016 vintage because this is the 2015. The 2016 does have a lower alcohol content. It's at 12.5. So I'd be interested in trying that as well. But this is lovely. It's really, really beautiful and exciting to come back to.
So...
Oh, I have some news for you.
I would say Dan Harmon.
So I have some Dan. Okay, so if you don't care about this sort of stuff, I guess you can go now.
Yeah, if you're like...
I'm going to leave a mean comment.
If I'm like, I thought this was a wine podcast and you guys talk about other things. You guys are dimensional human beings that exist in more than just a plane of wine and that offends me. I want you to just be monkeys that dance for wine.
Well, I want you to know we love you.
We
do. Have a great time.
And thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
Turn it
off.
Because
I have some really great news right now. All right, I'm going to read you. I saw this headline today, and I was like, oh, my God. It says, Rick and Morty creator Dan Harmon to executive produce comedy rap album. And it is, I'm going to read this from Deadline. It says, Harmon is executive producing a comedy rap album by comedian Rob Tantrum. We're just going to go with Tantrum. The album, Disturbed, Depressed, Inadequate, is a concept album from The New Yorker, who caught Harmon's eye after setting one of the latter's long-running jokes to songs and tweeting it at him. I'm reading this poorly, but whatever. I wasn't planning on reading. The point of it is the title of the album comes from one of George Costanza's outbursts on Seinfeld after he is coldly rejected by yet another date, and it features vocal samples from Jason Alexander's Costanza from season 4 of Seinfeld.
Is this the whole album?
Yeah. As well as samples from Reggie Watts.
I have a question, and this is...
I don't know. I mean,
this is dream scenario. Does Kanye West get a feature?
Because he does love Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
I mean...
Is that a possibility?
I don't know, but this is what Harmon said about this rapper who I've never... This comedy rapper person that I don't know. All I care about is Dan Harmon. I watch him work out every morning.
Yeah, and also, if you don't listen to his podcast, he raps on it quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, he opens like every single one. And he writes all the Rick and Morty songs, I'm pretty sure. He says he could just keep going forever. He's like tapioca pudding, says Harmon. Which, I don't love tapioca pudding, so I was a little bit like...
Wait, is he saying it can go on forever, like tapioca pudding?
He's like tapioca pudding. It's good stuff. It's about his own manic high.
How old is Dan Harmon?
He's
tapioca pudding. What is
it's
this?
It's about his own manic high anxieties and weird cathexes, and it's beautifully written. I don't know. What does it matter? Is it all that matters?
Dan Harmon is producing a rap album.
I literally have a Rick and Morty playlist on my phone. Like that
is
Dan
Harmon. This is Rick and Morty.
No,
Dan
I know, but what I'm saying is that Dan Harmon does great raps. I mean, they're mostly about like fucking your mom and pussies and shitting and stuff, but they're still great.
No, he's clever. He's a clever rapper. I'm excited.
I'm very excited. I hope this project
comes to fruition, and I hope that
it's gonna come to fucking fruition.
Well, sometimes people do things and then they peter out. I just hope that it actually gets completed.
No, because it's also Jeff, the partner on Harmontown. That's how this call is connected. He's one of the other producers.
Okay, so it's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen.
And then I could only Kanye has a feature.
I kind of want Kanye's feature to come when Dan actually releases his own rap album.
You think he's going to release his own
rap?
He's
never... I don't know. I don't know what Dan Harmon's going to do. I also didn't expect him to do an hour-long exercise video live every morning on Instagram.
Yeah, he does it every morning.
Every morning, and I watch it because I'm a...
Do you watch the whole thing?
No,
power through it.
No, I pop in, I pop out. No, I do it while he's live. I pop out. Only if I'm not working out. I do it almost to, like, shame myself.
Have you ever noticed? I mean, have you noticed? Like, he's it's good, but like, and he's like pushing himself.
He's looking better.
Is he?
I haven't noticed. I think definitely so. Well,
good for him. I think I think it's all. I heard him explain it where he was like, he's on his podcast. I can't believe we're on a podcast talking about someone else's podcast.
I think there's entire podcasts about other podcasts. Yeah.
So anyway, so on his podcast, he was like, look, he's like, I'm old now, and I learned that I can never stop eating garbage because I love to eat garbage. And he goes, but if I work out, I can eat that garbage and feel better about myself.
That's how I feel.
Eating the garbage.
And man, so that, I don't eat garbage.
That was sort of his, he's like, I drink like a fucking disgusting human being and I eat garbage. And I want to be able to continue doing that. I don't want to stop doing that. So I need to work out so I can do that. And I was like, okay.
That's how I feel about most, that's important.
Yeah.
Personally, I put things on the internet to hold myself accountable.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Because it's like if I publicly say, like if you publicly, like if you assign yourself to publicly exercising in front of people every day.
Yeah.
If you don't, it's not, because for me, I work from home, I'm alone. If I don't do something, there's really no one that gets angry about it. They're just kind of like, whatever. It's all on me, which obviously...
Do you think if you disappeared from Instagram for like a period of time, like a week or something, like just nothing, that people would think there was something wrong? Like, do you think that there would be enough people out there that would be like, other than your friends and family, I'm talking about like kind of strangers on the internet, would be like, where's Marissa? She hasn't done anything.
That happens sometimes.
Oh, really?
When I don't do stuff, yeah.
Like if you take a break?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That kind of, there's something about that that's kind of amazing.
It's only because I'm like such a sad, alone, hermit person that's on the internet all day. But anyways, I put stuff out publicly a lot so I hold myself accountable to it.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Because then it's like, oh, well, I told all these people I was going to do it. If I tell myself I'm going to do something, I don't...
No, I get it. I absolutely
I obviously
get it.
Don't care about myself at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I buy myself tons of skincare products, but yeah. That's about it.
There's nothing about like letting yourself down is an inevitable thing.
Oh yeah, every day.
Failing yourself is just part of life.
Oh, life. That's life.
Yeah. Wow. We are really on it today.
Yeah.
But failing other people is always something that has a little bit more weight to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you don't feel it, you can always just go and read your own iTunes reviews.
Nothing like reading how, you know, I'm learning. This is all new to me, this idea of like putting content out into the world and then like having people enjoy or ingest or disapprove of content. It's only been a couple years since I've been doing it. And I like sort of look around the world or the internet and other places to hear like other people who's been doing it for like a really, really, really long, 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 long time. And it seems like it's something that never really goes away.
I've been putting shit on the internet for people to read and ridicule since I was like 14.
It's a long time.
I know.
It never goes away.
No, and people are just mean and awful and hate everything that you do, but then there's a lot of people that really love it.
The support is amazing, and I've never never experienced anything like it.
So if you like our stuff,
yeah, please go
subscribe, like, and comment.
5 stars. Just do it. Just do it. It doesn't cost you anything. It's anonymous.
Honestly, I'll take 4 stars. That's fine too.
Fuck that. I want 5. Okay. 4's fine. 4 or 5, let's do it. It's anonymous. No one needs to know that you're supporting us. If you're embarrassed for whatever reason,
why would you even say that?
I'm just trying to get as many as we can.
Whatever. All I know is that I put together I just want you guys to know that we are doing a lot here. Ben came home, which might have fucked up the quality of some sound stuff, but Adam wore headphones.
Yes.
I put together an outline that has Scary Terry on it.
We do have Scary Terry.
That says, it's like anything with natural wine. It's a gamble, bitch.
Just like our podcast.
Just like our podcast. It's a gamble.
Neither of us went to sound engineering school.
We didn't go to podcast school.
We don't know how to do this. We're working on it, though. We invested in things.
Which brings up, if anyone's still listening, we are looking for a sound intern. Someone that can come and do the sound for us. In return, you get to hang out with us and drink wine with us. And really, all you have to do is like make sure that we don't sound like shit anymore.
Yeah.
Because
it's not like a permanent thing. It's just like a...
Right. What are you doing?
It's a permanent thing. You're here forever.
Well, I mean like... Well, no. I mean, it's not like a... I mean, no one's making you sign like a contract. But I'm saying that if you want to come and... We just don't have any money to pay you.
There's literally no money.
There's literally no money. The wines that we drink, we buy ourselves.
We're recording on top of cardboard boxes.
We're literally recording on top of cardboard boxes right now in my house without AC because my landlord won't do it. It doesn't matter. The point is that if you want to come help us with sound in exchange for some wine and hanging out, and honestly, there's no editing involved. You just have to make sure that we stop sounding so shitty, which hopefully we don't sound as shitty as when we started. But if you want to do that, you can email me at leisureenthusiast@gmail.com. Just put in the subject line, sound intern, pod intern.
Making it better.
Yeah. I mean, just make sure that pod or sound or interns in the subject line, because I get a lot of bullshit sent to that email. We're looking for someone to help us so that eventually maybe, you know, we do get better and we can focus our time on making more cool outlines with Scary Terry on them.
And this is, this podcast isn't like for some, it is fun for Marissa and I, and we enjoy it, but it's also like we do want to improve the wine community. And so we are working and improving everything.
I know
we're
it
doing.
May not seem like it. It's just because, you know, this is something we just do as a hobby that we'd like to make something more out of eventually. Hopefully. So anyways, if you want to help be a part of that.
We don't burp anymore.
I burped on this podcast sure. I did it kind of on purpose because fuck that person. But but no, if you're like a sound engineer or someone that is interested in like podcasting and has experience and is willing to come hang out with us for about an hour and a half once a week, please email me leisureenthusiast@gmail.com. Don't put the burp in there. It's just leisureenthusiast@gmail.com. This has been sponsored by LaCroix, my burp sponsor.
Yeah, and also, I think that's it.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.